Hi everyone, Siobhan Chapman here, and welcome to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. It's Friday morning, which means it's time for the weekend review and preview conversation, where my guests will recap how markets have performed over the past few sessions and preview what you can expect in the week ahead. Today's conversation will primarily focus on equity market activity as well as inflation. Joining us for the conversation, I'm glad to welcome back Matthew Tormey, Equity Strategist Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office. Matt, welcome. We're happy to have you.
Hey, good morning, Siobhan, and thanks for having me.
Perfect. So let's get started. Momentum across equity markets continues as indices continue to reach and test record levels this week. What are your thoughts on current equity valuations, and is the momentum justified?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Siobhan. This has definitely been one we've been getting quite more frequently on the desk. So on Tuesday, the S&P 500 did hit its most recent record high as it approached 5,200. And if we look at the current forward price to earnings multiple for the index, it's now above 20.5 times, which is above its 10-year average of a little bit under 18 times forward earnings. So from this perspective, current equity valuations to us appear a tad elevated, but in our view, they aren't excessive if we consider a few factors. So first, the macroeconomic environment remains supportive as inflation trends continue to cool. The labor market remains on solid footing with strong job growth and an unemployment rate below 4%. And although GDP growth is slowing, current estimates point towards above 2% growth in the first quarter. Second, AI-related spending and adoption has been a major driving force of U.S. equity performance so far this year. And in the near term, we continue to expect demand for AI to remain robust. And third, the earnings outlook is still positive and should continue to be a key market driver going forward. So in our view, the momentum is justified, and we continue to expect modest upside from current levels throughout the rest of the year. However, given how strong this performance has been to start the year, and with some sentiment and positioning indicators looking elevated, we do think that the chances of seeing a modest pullback in coming months is higher, and investors may get better entry points to add to equity positions.
Thank you so much for your insight on that, Matt. So how should equity investors think about positioning at this moment?
Right. So this is definitely a good question, Siobhan, and timely, because with our most recent house view update, we did make a few changes to our recommended equity positioning. So first, starting with sectors, we did just upgrade the healthcare sector to a most preferred view. And among the classic defensive sectors, so here, think consumer staples and utilities as well, healthcare is our preferred one. This year, we do expect earnings growth for healthcare to outpace the other two sectors. And there is potential for certain segments within healthcare, such as in managed care and life sciences tools, to benefit from a pickup in earnings growth as the year progresses. Additionally, at the same time, we also upgraded the industrial sector to most preferred, as we think this sector should benefit from resilient economic growth and improvement in manufacturing business sentiment and bottoming in cyclical areas such as transports and aerospace demand. Lastly, we do continue to maintain our preference for the information technology sector as AI infrastructure spending remains robust. PC and smartphone end markets appear to be bottoming, which should benefit many semiconductor names within the sector. And we expect investors to continue to gravitate towards high quality companies with good secular growth in the current macroeconomic environment. And if we look at size segments, we do have a preference for small caps relative to large caps as valuations remain attractive in our view. The Fed's likely pivot to rate cuts in the coming months should lead to a pickup in key economic indicators that have historically translated into small cap outperformance, such as the ISM Manufacturing New Orders Index. And given small companies have a larger concentration of floating rate debt relative to large cap companies, their balance sheets should benefit more from potential Fed rate cuts.
So with that being said, equities had rallied on Tuesday following the release of the latest CPI data. What did the data reveal about the inflation picture in the U.S.?
Yeah, so the CPI data on Tuesday was probably the highlight of the week. And while the headline month-over-month reading came in line with consensus, the core reading did come in hotter. And if you remember from the last print, the January inflation data came in hotter than expectations as well. And the January effect was blamed, which is where prices are routinely adjusted at the start of the new year. So We saw evidence of this as well in Tuesday's CPI print. Additionally, after the hotter January CPI print, investors started to get concerned that inflation could actually reaccelerate. But in our view, the February data suggests this scenario is still quite unlikely, and the primary risk we believe is that inflation will decline more slowly than expected. Now, just to recap some of the biggest swing factors in the data release, on the cooler side, medical care services price growth slowed after jumping by nearly 1% in January, and owner's equivalent rent took a step back after a stronger than expected rise previously. And on the hotter side, daycare services, gas prices, and used car prices saw some of the largest increases. So with the February inflation data now in investors' hands, to answer your question about what this reveals about the inflation picture here in the U.S., from a big picture perspective, core inflation continues to be driven by services, and in our view, it's transitory factors that are pushing down goods inflation and pushing up services inflation. So we do expect these factors to fade, allowing services inflation to trend lower, which should allow the Fed to start trimming rates by June, in our view. But we do remain mindful of the risk that Fed could stay on hold for longer, because in order for the Fed to cut, inflation must slow and the labor market must soften, because if the current trends persist, then it's unlikely the Fed will be able to cut, and there's still a possibility, although we believe it's small, that further rate hikes would have to be considered. And to wrap up, like you mentioned, Siobhan, the equity market reaction was positive, and we think this was driven by the fact that market pricing for the first rate cut continued to point to June, which is in line with our expectations.
So turning to next week, Matt, what will be taking place that investors should be mindful of?
So next week, both the economic and earnings calendars will be a tad lighter than what we experienced the past couple weeks, but there will still be a few important data points and events taking place that investors really need to pay attention to. So starting with the economic calendar on Monday, we'll receive the March NAHB Housing Market Index, which is always a good gauge of sentiment among U.S. single-family home builders. On Tuesday, more on housing, we're going to get February housing starts and building permits releases. On Wednesday, the highlight of the week will be the March FOMC meeting, but we aren't expecting any big surprises to take place, as the Fed is unlikely to change the federal funds rate. And it's still our view here in CIO that the Fed begins cutting rates around the middle of the year. On Thursday, it's a bit of a hodgepodge of data points, but as usual, you will get the weekly initial and continuing jobless claims numbers, which continue to remain near benign levels. Continuing on the housing theme from earlier in the week, we'll receive existing home sales data for February. On manufacturing, we'll receive the latest Philadelphia Fed manufacturing index reading for March, as well as a preliminary read on the March market PMI manufacturing index. On services, alongside the manufacturing PMI reading, we'll also receive the preliminary reading for the March market PMI services index. And to round out the day, the Conference Board will publish its leading indicators index reading for February, which historically has provided helpful insights on if there are any upcoming shifts in the business cycle. No major economic releases for next Friday. So if we just turn to the earnings calendar for next week, we'll begin to hear from a few off-cycle reporters that are worthwhile to keep an eye on. Some of these companies include General Mills, Micron, Accenture, Darden Restaurants, Nike, and FedEx.
Thank you so much for joining us, Matt, and providing your insights with us.
Thanks, Siobhan.
Today, we have been joined by Matthew Tormey, Equity Strategist Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office. And as a reminder to our listeners, Top of the Morning is a part of the UBS Market Moves podcast channel, which is available where podcasts are found, including on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire podcast offering, as well as the UBS Trending video series. From UBS Studios, I'm Siobhan Chapman, and thank you for joining us.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.